Now, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Both messages today, and the Lord willing, through the remaining part of the month of October, we will finish out our year-long series from the book of the Revelation. Chapter 19, I am going to read beginning at verse 1 and through verse 10. But first, join me in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for what the Revelation reveals to us. We thank Thee that Thou hast given Thy Word that we might look at it, that we might read it, that we might believe it, and that we might live by its teaching and its precepts. May our hearts especially today be moved toward Thee in this message from the Revelation. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 1, Revelation chapter 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he, that is the messenger, saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The marriage of the Lamb. There is something happy about a marriage. Two devoted hearts are attracted to each other. They are given in the pledge of their fidelity one to the other. And then comes that wonderful day, the day of the consummation of their marriage. Marriage is sanctified in God's sight. Marriage is holy. Marriage is the oldest institution known to man. God Himself performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. He brought together Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, in a sacred and in a holy ceremony of marriage. I think it is very significant that the first miracle that Jesus performed in the days of His flesh was performed at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus turned the water to wine. Now, the uninformed, uninstructed, unlearned, and unscrupulous critics of our Lord have had a heyday with His first miracle, the turning of water to wine. For they say Jesus did something that would make men drunk. But they don't know the Scripture. Amen. I am going to take time. I don't have the time. But I'm going to take the time to read the last part of that account in the second chapter of the Gospel according to John. You don't have anywhere to go, do you? Oh, I know the ball games are coming on, and some of our folks couldn't even wait. They had to leave after Sunday school to go. But we're going to have a whole lot better ball game right here. Because the Holy Spirit's the quarterback. And God's going to knock a home run. John chapter 2. I know the difference between baseball and football. I'm covering both of them in one statement. Now then, I want you to listen. Verse 9 says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The good wine. I've never tasted wine like this before, he said in so many words. And you know what that wine was? I believe it was the same kind of wine that Abraham and Melchizedek drank in the book of Genesis. I believe it will be the same wine that we shall drink in the kingdom of our Lord. It is a new wine. It is a wine that is made of God and symbolizes the joy of life. The master at the house said, I've never tasted wine like this. This is something new. Beloved, I believe that will be the wine that we shall drink at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb, 'tis the church triumphant singing. Worthy is the Lamb whose blood was shed. That wine is a type of his blood. You remember Jesus said to his disciples in the last Passover meal, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, with great joy I drink this. With great joy I eat this meal with you. I have longed for this moment. For I shall not eat and drink with you again until the kingdom of God. I believe he was talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I can just hardly wait to taste. You talk about the taste of new wine, that will be it. The marriage of the Lamb. Verse 1, after these things. After what things? After the events of chapters 17 and 18. After these things, what, John? A hallelujah chorus. Now the word here is alleluia. That is the Greek spelling of our English hallelujah. Our English word hallelujah comes from a Hebrew word, which means, really two Hebrew words, which mean praise ye the Lord. So every time that they said hallelujah, what they were saying was this: praise ye the Lord. Here is the hallelujah chorus. And four times they say hallelujah. First, they say hallelujah because the great whore, the apostate church, the great system of apostate religion under the symbolism of the great whore whom John saw in chapter 17, rich and prosperous and having her garments stained with the blood of the saints of Jesus. She is no more. She's destroyed. So the hallelujah chorus cries, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The second hallelujah is because the beast, the last structure of government of the Gentile world, Babylon the Great, is fallen, chapter 18. Therefore, the hallelujah chorus says, hallelujah. And I want you to notice, in verse 4, there is a third hallelujah. And this includes us. You and I, as born again believers in this church age, are represented by the 24 elders around the throne. And they said, amen, hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? Why is that added there? Because the word amen or amen, it doesn't matter how you pronounce it, any more than you call Lancaster Street Lancaster or Lancaster, doesn't really matter. Amen, amen, it means the same. And here is what it means. It means I affirm, I believe, I say, so let it be. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, for His judgments are just and righteous, and He has done well in that He has overthrown the harlot and the beast. Ecclesiastical Babylon and political Babylon are overthrown. These two monsters have caused much heartache and much bloodshed of the people of God. But now they are destroyed, and the Hallelujah chorus says, Amen. Bind it, seal it, affirm it. Hallelujah! These are fallen, and God is right, and God is righteous. There's a fourth, hallelujah. John says, I've never heard anything like this before. Why, it sounded like the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The enemy is defeated. No more pressure. No more persecution. No more tribulation. No more suffering. For the saints of God, for the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful, reigneth. That's a cause for rejoicing. Hallelujah. And then there comes the announcement. Let us rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And the Greek says it, for the marriage of the Lamb is consummated. Now the figure here is not our modern day setup of courting and engagement and marriage. You've got to get the Oriental mind in this to see it. Because today it's sort of like this. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. Will you? I do. We're married. That's about it. And then we sing, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But the Oriental marriage was far different. Consider the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah. Abraham sent to his own kindred, and by his servant, he brought back a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac never had seen her before. But he opens his arms and receives her as his wife. In the Oriental marriage, there were three stages to marriage, really. There was first the betrothal, or the engagement. It might last 3 years, 5 years, always at least 1 year. And then the second stage was presentation, when the bride was presented and the marriage was at that point consummated. Then came the marriage reception, or the feast, or the supper. That's the imagery that John sees in this. Look at it now. He says, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. That's kind of strange, isn't it, with our Western way of doing things? When we have a wedding ceremony here, the bridegroom's over here in the dark behind that door. Nobody says to him, my, you look sweet. My, you look handsome. My, you ought to stand out here and let everybody see you. He follows nervously behind the pastor as we walk out while the organ is playing very softly the wedding march. But then, in a moment, the organ tempo is picked up and down the aisle comes that beautiful bride. And everybody stands up and turns around and looks at her. And we're just standing there, nobody looking at us. And the eyes follow her all the way down the long aisle until she takes her place beside her groom. But wait. Look at it again. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us be rejoice and be glad and give honor unto Him. The angelic chorus will end that day not saying, "Here comes the bride," but "Here comes the bridegroom." Amen. And all eyes are on Him. Majestic glory sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Let's give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Why did it say Lamb? Why didn't it say Son? Because that word Lamb suggests that blood-bought relationship that you and I have with Him. Look at Adam. God opens His side and takes out of His side bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh and makes a woman to be His wife. Look at us. We are the blood-bought, ransomed children of God. And what a price, for from the side of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, there flowed that life-giving flood. And Paul says, we are bone of His bone. We are flesh of His flesh. And when Paul begins to describe the relationship that exists between Jesus and the church, he uses the symbolism of marriage. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. He says, wives, be in subjection to your husband in all things. And Paul said, I speak now a great mystery, for I speak of Christ and the church. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. You remember old John the Baptist stood there and he said, I am a friend of the bridegroom, pointing to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Himself pictures Himself as a bridegroom in that parable of the Father preparing a marriage for His Son. Jesus, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, is the bridegroom. Who is the bride? Why, the bride, you and I, the saved of this age, of this dispensation, of the church age from Calvary to this moment. We are the bride, the church in prospect, the church of the living God. Not the Old Testament saints, not the tribulation saints, but the church, the believers in this age. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. What about the ceremony? We know who the bridegroom is. We know who the bride is. And lo and behold, there is not a word. There is not a word written about the ceremony. Why? Well, I have what I believe a reason why. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but there must be some reason for the silence about the ceremony itself. Here's the bridegroom, here's the bride. What about the ceremony? It simply says the marriage of the Lamb is come, is consummated. You know why I believe? Nothing is said. It is far too sacred. It is far too intimate. It is far too holy. It is far too sanctified for even the beloved John to write about it. You see, marriage is not something you write about, it's something you experience. That's my reasoning. Nothing is said about the ceremony. But wait. The last part of verse 7 says, his wife hath made herself ready. We've been engaged to Jesus, espoused to him for a long time now. And his glorious bride is being made up of people all over the world. Believers all over the world. We're engaged. We're espoused to him. But John says, now it is consummated. One day we who are espoused to him, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to him. And to her, verse 8 says, was given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The Greek says, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds, the righteous acts, the righteousness is plural of the saints. In the Roman world, there were two garments worn. The inner garment, that's called the tunic. The outer garment, that's called the toga. T-O-G-A, toga. Like our word togs, toga, outside garment. Now the inner garment, the tunic for the believer, is that justification, that righteous robe that every born again believer is dressed in the moment he's saved. The moment he's saved, he's dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Follow me now. Why does it say the wife, the bride, the virgin hath made herself ready? There's an outer garment. And the outer garment are those righteous deeds that we do every day. And when we get to heaven, incidentally, that's where all this is taking place. Verse 1 says, after these I heard a voice in heaven. That's where the marriage will take place, in heaven. And when we get to heaven, there will not be any examination of our inner spiritual garment, our tunic. But there will be an investigation of our outer garment. It was given her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Such a shame that many of the children of God, many of Christians born again believers in this age, will be there with wrinkled garments on, spotted garments, stained garments, unclean garments. Why? Because of a disobedient, wayward life. I repeat, God will not inspect the inner garment. That's the tunic of the righteousness of Christ. If you're a believer, you're dressed in it this morning. But God will inspect that toga, that outside garment that's made up of the righteous deeds of every born-again believer. That's what James was talking about in our Sunday school lesson. Works, obedience, evidence of being a Christian. clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've been talking about the marriage. I speak now briefly about the marriage supper. Remember, the bride is every born-again believer in this age, the great church in prospect that's being made up to be the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Who then are they that are called? I believe the guests at the supper are all other believers from Adam to the beginning of the church age, plus those who are saved, redeemed in the tribulation period. So the bride at the marriage is the church. The guests at the wedding are all other believers. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of these are called to the wedding feast. They are called to celebrate the marriage of the Lamb. They are called to enjoy the supper of the Lamb. Where did you go on your honeymoon? Some of you went maybe to Europe or Mexico or across the United States or a little trip down to the post office and back. But wait. Folks, we're going on the most wonderful honeymoon you've ever heard tell of. Our honeymoon will last 1,000 years as we celebrate our marriage to Him. Worthy is the Lamb. 'Tis the church triumphant singing. Worthy is the Lamb. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you in that number? You can be. You don't have to wait till you get any better. You don't have to wait until you get any worse. You can come this morning just as you are and believe in the Lord Jesus. You'll be presented as His bride in that day at the marriage of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Let us be glad and rejoice and say hallelujah 10,000 times like the thunderous voice of many multitudes and mighty waters. Worthy is the Lamb. 'Tis the church triumphant singing. Worthy is the Lamb. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning, if there be those who are not prepared, who've never been born again, who've never trusted the Savior, who are not counted in that number, may they come this morning and trust it all to Thee. Dear God, I pray that Thy blessed will might be done in this service. We have delivered Thy word the best we know it. Make up for those blunders. Fill up those empty places. And let men see Jesus as I can't describe Him, the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Help us, Heavenly Father, this morning to be in Him pure and clean and wholesome and white and sparkling. Bring men to Jesus and bring men to the church and bring men to their knees today is our prayer in Jesus' name. while your heads are bowed. And I'm going to ask that you remain in the congregation in prayer. The choir is going to sing in a moment. But out there in this vast congregation, even back there in the overflow, you can hear me. You can hear the voice of God speaking to you. I want you to answer the call. If you're without the Savior, I want you to come and trust Him this morning. If you don't have the assurance of your salvation, I want you to come and receive it this morning. If you're out there and you need help and encouragement and strength and grace and courage to meet the problems of today and the anxieties and the fears of tomorrow, I want you to come. You to come. I want you to come. Whatever your need is, if the Holy Spirit speaks while we sing prayerfully, while you pray and while the choir sings this stanza of the invitation, come on, who will be first to come to Christ, to the church, to the altar prayer? While the Holy Spirit speaks this morning, will you do it? Would you do it today? Why don't you let Him come in today? Why don't you let Him come in today? While the Holy Spirit speaks. That's right, come on, while He speaks today. While the Holy Spirit speaks today. Why don't you come? He's waiting for you. He's waiting now, He's waiting this morning. Would you come? Oh, how He wants to come in. While we continue to sing it and while the Holy Spirit speaks. Why don't you come today? You'll find His arms open wide. Why don't you come this morning? Within your heart He'll abide. He's waited before. He's waiting again. He's waiting this moment. Won't you let Him come in? Oh, how He wants to come in. While our heads are bowed before the choir offers another chorus, another stanza. Out there this morning, you know God is speaking to your heart. You don't need this preacher to tell you that. You don't need anybody to tell you that God wants more room in your life. That you need to be preparing for that consummation of that marriage in the glory world. No, you don't need anyone to tell you how much you need God, how you need the church, how you need an altar of prayer. It's here. The door is open. Why don't you come? If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we beg you, in Jesus' stead, come and trust Him. If you're out there and you need a prayer of dedication, a prayer for strength, for courage, why don't you slip down this morning? A little bit discouraged, a little bit bothered. The devil doesn't want you to come. He's right at your right hand. He's telling you that next week will be all right. He's telling you to wait until tonight, to wait until revival, but God's time is now. Behold, now is the day. Now is the accepted time. There's no tomorrow in this business. There's no next week. It's now or maybe never. You're out there today and you want to become a member of Worth Baptist by letter from another Baptist church. on your statement of having been baptized in a Baptist church or by baptism from another denomination while we sing this next little bit. Won't you come right now while the Holy Spirit speaks?